Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, it is good to have everybody here this morning. We are excited. We're doing a standalone message today as we prepare for baptism later on in the service. But I just want to start off with this quote today from Mark Twain. He said, "The two most important days of your life, or in your life, are the day you are born and the day you find out why." Okay? So while we may not entirely agree with Mark Twain's theology, we are going to wrestle today with the why, that second why, when you find out why you're here. So what is our purpose? I mean, why are we here? Why do we function as human beings at this time in this place? I mean, is it by chance? Or is there something more to it? Tied into this, once we understand our purpose, what do we do to allow it to unfold? Because failure to prepare is preparing to fail. Think about that. If you fail to prepare, you're preparing to fail. So if you don't know where you're going, how can you prepare for it? So today's message is preparing for purpose. So will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you speak to us, that you've given us life, that you've given us an opportunity to engage in the things that you have for us to engage in. We thank you that today, as your message is told, that you're here, that you're not far off, you're present, and that we can be changed and transformed and moved to be something more than we came in as this morning. So would you do that in each of us? Help us to focus on what matters most, and that's you. Speak to us through your word this morning in a powerful way. So we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So every day, people rise out of their beds and attend to certain tasks, right? Tasks that may be part of a routine or driven by circumstantial situations. Most are not driven by a goal or have some kind of plan in mind. They just go through a routine. They just get up and they have this thing that they go to. The first thing, think about it. You probably all have something you do first thing in the morning, right? Do you have a plan or a goal in mind when you get out of bed? Those who are usually driven by a goal they have for this life, however, looked a little bit different. How many of us, honestly, each day wake up and say, today, every step I take, every task I engage in will be a part of something bigger than me? How many of us ask that question or make that statement? What can I do today that's going to make a difference in something bigger than me? What if I had a goal in mind that's orchestrated by my Creator? What would be different if we live like that? What if each day we started by preparing for the purpose our Heavenly Father has in mind for us? Today, our hope is, as we unpack this subject, your heart and mind is redirected. Focus not on the mundane task of life, but the exciting possibilities of a life passionately driven by the goals God has for us. The world around us has so much going on, and it's so easy to get distracted by this or that and forget about the great plan that's in place. I'd like to share with you something that occurred to me while we were on vacation in the mountains this year. Some of you know we visited Deep Creek in Western Maryland, and we drove 3 hours. That was an exciting 3 hours up lots of mountains with an older truck and a dog who was tempting to get sick at every turn. It seemed like we were just, you know, going along and passing drivers and other drivers passing us, and everybody had a goal in mind. Everybody was on some sort of mission. Everybody had their exit. They had a place to be, and they were focused on getting where they had to go. But once we got to where we were going, everything seemed to slow down. It kind of like, it's just like a slow motion. We were able to look around and notice some of the things that we weren't able to see. When you're driving, you can't see everything that's around you because you're kind of focusing on the road. At least you should be. But the one thing I constantly found myself doing while we were up in the mountains was looking down. Up on the mountain, it's quiet, right? And I looked up to see the beauty around the mountain. I looked around me, what was in front of me, but my focus just constantly kept looking down. Every time I turned around, I noticed that I was looking down at the busyness down at the bottom of the mountain. Below seemed to be where most of the action was happening. As we drove around the lake, there was people on their docks. They were in their boats. They were out jet skiing. They were swimming. There was parties going on, shopping, go-karting. It just was all happening down there. So my attention kept getting drawn down. In fact, we took a hike later in the week along this river, Swallow Falls, if you know where that is. We took a hike along Swallow Falls, and 80% of the time, I found myself looking down at the river, down at the falls. Yeah, I had to keep focused on where I was going, but most of the time, I was looking down. I wanted to know what was happening across the riverbed or in the riverbed. And as I pondered this, I thought, why? And is there any similarities in our culture today? It seems many are striving to reach the top, to achieve this or that, to get to the goal, making strides to climb to success, focused on where they're going over where they are presently. Missing the moment along the journey because the goal is the driving force to their each step. They're focused on what everything else has happened around them rather than where they are. Consider this. How often do we look back and think, wow, that was a great time, or wow, that was a great season in life? Wouldn't it be great to be back there? Wouldn't it be great to be back to that time when things were just awesome? If I'm honest, my thoughts drift there more than I'd like to admit. Maybe the same is true for you. But our focus is where we choose to direct it. We can be focused on the past, in the valley, or we can be focused on the top of the mountain, the future. We have an option, though, to set our gaze in any direction. But if that's all we do, if we're always looking back and always looking forward, what are we losing sight of? The present, this time. And in the present, this is where our purpose lies. Our present is what gets us to the goal of the future. If we don't live in the present, we're never going to get to the future. Our past is the motivating factor to keep us pressing on, using every opportunity before us to get to the goal. It's tempting, though, to look around and see others in the valley and feel bad or glad that we're not there, right? Glad we're not in that season anymore. It's tempting to look up the mountain and wish we were closer to the goal that others seem to be. Man, they're closer to retirement. They're closer to this or closer to that. They got things going on. But to live with a mindset of purpose, we need to be present where we are and consider the circumstance we are facing to be the catalyst being used to move us closer to the goal. So I'm going to submit this morning that we all have a mission, a vision, a plan for our lives, and we see certain things we need to achieve it. Agreed? Sometimes we get distracted from the plan, though. Let's just be honest. We're too busy looking around at what's happening below or that we would like to participate in. There's other things that are happening, maybe in the water there. Or above us, the people that are closer to the goal up on the mountain where it's quiet. Need some quiet in my life. I want to be there. Sometimes, even where we are, just the busyness of life around us is enough to distract us from the goal, the purpose of this life. So if we're honest, we can say there's many things to draw attention away from those daily goals, those daily steps that get us closer. And with no purpose in mind, we simply become wandering sojourners, being swayed by the things around us, and we lose sight of any goal we set out to accomplish. Let me say that again. If we don't have a purpose in mind, we simply become wandering sojourners, being swayed by the things around us, and we lose sight of any goal we had already set. Now, Jesus, in an instructive mood one day, said a lot over two chapters in Matthew. So we're going to take a look at just one section of that right now. We're going to be in Matthew 7, the end of it. And there's just two verses tucked into his teaching in these two chapters. Now we know from last week's message, Jesus often taught with more than one thing in mind. He taught in parables. So he's trying to give a message through what he was saying, maybe it was deeper. And we're going to look at that in a second. Keep that in mind as you read these verses. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many may enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, one thing Jesus certainly had in mind here was salvation. Not everyone's going to find it. Not everybody's looking for it. And certainly, those who don't find it, those on the wide path, are headed where? To destruction. To hell. Not my words, his. They're going to perish. But Jesus, in these chapters, had been talking to the people about the goal of life, covering a multitude of topics, providing directives and encouragement. And these passages are tucked into part of this, into this section. They're part of this. And he starts off with this clear directive there. He says, enter. Now, of course, the word here in the Greek means to go out or come in. But it's also likened to coming into life. When you walk through that narrow gate, when you enter through the narrow gate, you're coming into life, he's saying. Now listen, when we enter somewhere, when you guys came in here today, you knew where the door was and you had a route by which you were going to take to get in that door. There were many different routes. You could have gone around the barn. You could have gone around the pool. You could have come in on your jetpack and dropped in right in front of the door. If you have a jetpack. But you had to have a goal in mind. You had to know where the door was in order to get to it. And every movement that you took should have projected you towards where you were headed, right? That's just reality. But if we take our eyes off of the goal, if we take our eyes off of the place that we're headed, our movements, instead of causing us to get closer to the goal, might do what? Take us away. They'll move us away. Just one step could move you in the wrong direction. If you started heading in one direction and you took one misstep to the left and kept going in the same direction, you would not remain going straight anymore, would you? By the time you got to your goal, depending on how far away it was, you could be far off. What if each day is just like that step? What if we count each day as an opportunity to take a step closer to the goal? You know, there's an opportunity to wander from our goal. That's just reality, right? Do you know that there's nothing in the Bible, there's not one verse that says we're prone to wander? Did you know that? I went and looked for that. You know, we come sing Come Thou Font. And it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. However, specifically, David reminded us that we need to stay focused on the goals that God has set for us. We need to focus in. Look at Psalm 37, 4. He says these words. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Paul, in his encouragement to the Philippian church, in Philippians 3, 14, he said, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on. On towards a goal. Paul has a goal in mind. And then the writer in Hebrews 10:36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. These are just a few examples of many. I found many verses pointing us towards the goal of this life. Within these verses and other verses, there is a common goal, isn't it? It's actually what I would submit to you is the purpose of life. Look at them again, and there you see things underlined. Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord. Press on towards the goal. done the will of God. Let me ask you this question. How would the daily routines of our life be different if this goal were the thoughts directing our steps? If we took each of these words that he said right here and used them to guide us. Hey, I'm going to get up this morning and I am going to press on towards the goal. I'm going to do the will of God today. That's my desire. And I'm going to delight in what God's given me. I am just simply going to delight in Him. How would the routines of our life be different? Jesus instructed us to enter through the narrow gate, to come into life. How is that possible if our steps are not directed by the right motivation? How is it possible? How can we enter through the narrow gate if we don't have the proper motivation? In our culture today, how many times have you heard these words? It drives me crazy. You must follow your heart. You must follow your heart. Wherever your heart leads, that's where you need to go. Follow your heart. I'm not going to argue that. This is the idea that our heart, what we feel, will actually lead us to the best outcome in life. That's the idea behind that mantra. That our heart will get us to the best outcome in life. So I'm not going to argue that, but the Bible is going to argue that. Let me give you some scriptures. It tells us that the heart's deceitful. In fact, Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. What? It's deceitful above all things. He didn't just say some things. He said all things. The heart deceives us. And it's beyond cure. Oh man, I'm supposed to follow my heart now? But it's deceitful. In addition, in Proverbs, we're told, direct your heart in the way. The way, huh? Direct your heart in the way. The way of what? Why is the proverb writer there? Why is Solomon so mysterious? Get that out. Mysterious when he says that. What is the way? The goal. God's goal. God's purpose for our lives. Direct your heart in that way. Now, he says direct it. Don't listen to it. He's saying move it. So if the heart is deceitful and it needs to be directed in the way, what's supposed to lead it? What are we to use to direct us towards the goal? What are we to use to direct us towards the purpose that God has for us in this life? Paul understood this in his letter to the Colossians. Look at Colossians 3:1. He said, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This sounds like enough, right? Just set your heart there. You could direct your heart there. But Paul did not stop there. In fact, he gave further instruction because he knew the heart all too well. He followed with these words in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. If our mind is on earthly things, which path do you think we're going to be directed to? The narrow one or the wide one? Where does the wide path lead to? Where does the wide gate lead to? To destruction. And there's a warning in that passage as well. Who enters through that gate? Who follows that path? If you look at Matthew 7 again, you see many, many enter through the wide gate and through the wide path, the wide road. But if our minds are set on things above, which road are we more likely to travel on? Which road will we take? And look what Jesus says. Where does that road lead? Enter through this gate to life. When we enter through that gate, we get life. The life that God had intended for each of us from the day of our conception. Not some facade that the world has to offer. Think about the temptation of Jesus when he was in the desert, after being out there 40 days alone. And Satan came to him. And he tempted him with things of the world, didn't he? Food, power. And the Bible was full of stories of people who once had their intended purpose in mind, where their life was transformed, isn't it? Think about Saul. Before his conversion, his mind was set and his heart was set on the wrong thing, wasn't it? His goal, like the other Pharisees, was to preserve the church they had created and not the one that God had in mind. His life was on a road to destruction. Saul was going down the wrong road. God certainly would not be pleased with what Saul was doing to those who had placed their faith in Jesus. The path his life was on before intersecting with Jesus would lead ultimately to judgment from God, which would result in his destruction, in his demise. We can be pretty confident of that, because his heart was set on the wrong thing. But, I love that, but God, but Jesus presented Saul with a narrow path. He presented him with a small opportunity to turn his life around and get on board with God's plan. A plan that in turn would reset and redirect the goals of Saul's life. So much so that he would receive a new name. And that's why we know him as Paul. Much of the New Testament is penned from his hand. The same hand that once persecuted Christians for their faith in Christ had a new goal, had a new purpose. The gate he walked through was narrow. It didn't look inviting. It was small. Maybe treacherous. And when Paul got off his horse, got knocked off his horse, he made a decision. Which way am I going to go? He could have gotten up off his horse and said, I'm going to keep going. I might be blind, but I'm going to, you guys can help me do this. We're going to still get him. That was just something that happened. I'm going to ignore it. But he didn't. He got up off his horse and he's like, where do I go? And what do I do? And he went and did it. So the question is, we all have moments like that. We all have moments when we get knocked off our horse. When God presents us with a different direction. When he says, listen, you're not going that way anymore. I've been trying to tell you the nice way, but you haven't been listening. So I'm going to knock you off your horse and I'm going to present this new idea to you. And which way are you going to go? The question is, which way will we go? Well, I think Saul had this in mind, because he knew what David had penned in Psalm 33:11. See, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart throughout all generations. In other words, God's plan has never changed. God's purpose has never changed. It has been in place and it's not going to change. So that's the thing I need to gravitate towards. Paul knew the scriptures. When he got knocked off the horse, he said, I'm going to either follow God or I'm going to follow man. I've been following man. Maybe I ought to start following God. Because the plans of the Lord stand firm. Stand firm. You think of something that stands firm. It's not moving. It's not changing. It is staying the same. And it's not just a temporary thing. It's throughout the generations. Oh, thank you. God's heart for us has been the same from the beginning. And we cannot change the plans of God. Oh my goodness, I have some discussions this week about climate change and how it's something we've caused. God has told us in his word that the earth is not going to sustain forever, right? It's going to go away. It's going to pass away. And no amount of global warming or whatever we do to prevent it is going to change it. We could all go out and have solar on our house and buy electric cars. But God's plan to wipe this earth away is going to happen. He's planned it. It's part of his purpose. Do you know what is really reassuring about all this? Is that God has had a plan for all people. That's right. Forever. He's had a plan for everybody forever. He's not caught by surprise when people do different things. He wants everyone to come to faith. He gives them that opportunity. And you say, what about the Old Testament? Hey, I got news for you. There were people who were not Jewish who came to faith in God, who followed his precepts, who abided by his laws, who did the things that the same things that the Jews did. It was possible. And God's had a plan for all people, for all time. He made a way, though, didn't he, through Jesus, for anyone who would believe in him to have eternal life, to get to the better part of the plan. That's right, I said the better part. I get it, life isn't always easy. But can we agree on the statement that his purpose has always been for our good? Even in the tough stuff? Even in the hard times? Why else would he have sent Jesus to earth to suffer and die if he did not want the best for us? Why would he do that? It doesn't make sense. But that's his purpose, right? So then we're supposed to be talking about our purpose. So what's our purpose in his plan? Look at some of these verses in Proverbs for insight into this. Let's start with Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So no matter what you do, no matter what you plan, maybe we need to go somewhere first. Maybe we need to go to God first. Take and go to him first. And the result will be him directing us. We may make plans, but are they what he wants from us? I mean, I'm sure that you've all have a kind of a schedule for your week. You thought about where you're going this week, what's going to happen. You've got a plan. Maybe your boss scheduled some of it out for you. But there's a plan out there. What if God's plan's different? What if it's not exactly what we planned? And think about this. Committing is not something we do with our heart, is it? Do we really commit to something with our heart? Do you really? Or do you commit to something with your mind? When we commit to something with the heart, when things go wrong, when they're not going like we thought they would be, we become weary and we drift away. But when we commit with our mind, we stick to it. We stay in it. If you commit to marriage with a heart, you're going to find yourself drifting. But if you commit to marriage in your mind, knowing that this is the plan that God has for you, you're going to stay the course. You're going to trust him. And God knows this all too well. He knows when we commit with our mind, we can lead our hearts. Look at Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but God, the Lord establishes their steps. So we can plan all we want in our heart, but if our mind is not set on it, it's not going to matter. Look at Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose which prevails. And let's just face it, it's often that a plan is formed with the heart. For those of you that got married in here, right? When you met your spouse, you fell in love with them. It probably wasn't with your mind. It was probably with your heart. That was a plan. You're like, oh, look at that. But your mind has to catch up with your heart at some point. And that's why I'd submit that if you go down the road of marriage, the further you go, the more in love you become. It's not because your heart has changed. It's because your mind's changed. It's because your mind is more committed to the well-being and the welfare of this person. You commit to that. So when we understand and have in mind why we are doing what we are doing, shouldn't there be an order to things? God is establishing His plan through each of our lives. Now consider this. Consider this. This is mind-blowing, so you're going to have to kind of suck this in and hold it in there for a second. What if everyone, every believer, was walking in step with God's plans? Let's just start in our own homes. What would our households look like? If everybody in your household was walking in step with God's plans, what would it look like? Could you imagine everyone in your household walking to the beat of the same drum? We got a purpose and a goal in mind. Consider what would get accomplished. Consider the lack of fighting and negativity. If everybody had a goal in mind that was orchestrated by God. Okay, so let's go to the next thing. Next, imagine our church. Apply those same principles to church. Everybody on the same page, working towards a common goal. No negativity because personal agendas no longer matter. Wow. We could get God's purpose done. We could get His plan done. Let's take it even bigger. Let's take it to a global scale. What if every believer was on the same mission? What if every believer was committed to the Great Commission? I mean committed. Can you imagine what this world would look like? Can you imagine the hands and feet of Jesus united in our globe? It would be transformative. And you're going, that's not possible. It's not likely. You know, I heard a story this week about these people who have been going in Baltimore, you know, after the riots, there's been all this chaos and this craziness in Baltimore. And these people have been going down to Baltimore and they've got this vision for Baltimore to be peaceful. They want to take the chaos off the streets. They want God to be a part of it. So they're walking around certain blocks and they're praying. They're doing stuff. There's some churches that are engaging in this. It's not just one church, it's many. Do you know the police contacted them and said, hey, could you prayer walk over this block? Because we've seen a reduced evidence of violence as you guys walk through these streets. Just imagine that. Imagine the church as a whole, not just in Baltimore, but on a global scale. Wow. The impact would be tremendous. Now, people in Jesus' day, after His ascension, struggled with this too. And I believe James is speaking to believers. So as you read this statement or listen to this statement, just keep in mind that he's speaking to believers. It's found in James 4, verses 13 through 15. He says this, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow," James says. "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Now, this instruction is aimed at believers who set their minds, their goals on earthly things, who think they know what tomorrow will bring. And listen, we can be like this too, right? We can put a plan in place or set a date on a calendar and something we weren't expecting comes up. It changes it in a heartbeat. Do you think the people in the paths of these hurricanes had that on their schedule? Oh, wait, Hurricane Harvey's coming this day, so we've got to reschedule some things. Can't do it then. Oh, my weekend plans have been all messed up because Irma's coming. I mean, I had a barbecue scheduled. I mean, there's churches that aren't meeting today because there's a hurricane bearing down on the state of Florida. Do you think they planned that? Do you think in their grand scheme, is their year planning when, hey, now we got to mock out this weekend. We're not going to have church here because Irma's coming. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. So our plans need to be subject to the purpose of God. Our plans need to be subject to His directives, even to His circumstances. Because the reality is, there's not one person in this room. There's nobody in this room Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? You can go to some fortune teller. You can go to some prophet, somebody to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. They have no clue. For all we know, Jesus could return and that's it. That'd be it. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And do we really understand our life apart from Him? I mean, is our purpose clear and in sight if we're doing whatever we want versus what He wills for us? That's a hard question, but it's one that we really need to consider. Is our purpose clear and in sight? Is it His purpose for our lives? What steps are you taking today that either set you on the course to fulfill His purpose or direct you off the course? Maybe you're in a place where you feel like you don't know anymore. We've all been there. There's plenty of people in the Bible who received a plan from the Lord, but were left in wait. They had to wait for it to unfold. They had to go through the daily mundane things, but with a mindset, with their mindset on God's will. Think about Noah. Think about Noah and the many years he spent preparing for the plan. He got mocked. You've got to be kidding me. You're building this huge boat for what? It's never rained. You're crazy. But he went out in faith. And every day his steps were directed by the Lord. Each board that he put on, each lather of tar that he placed on the side of the boat, it was for a purpose. It was for God's purpose. And you got to wonder what he was thinking as he did it. It's never rained, Lord, but I'm going to keep doing it. You want me to put how many animals in there? You want me to collect how much food? His whole life was geared around that for how many years? And he kept going. He didn't relent. Or Jacob. Think about the path that Jacob went on. He had this vision from God, what was going to be. I don't think he had in his vision the reality that he was going to end up in a pit, sold into slavery, betrayed by his master's wife, sent to prison, even betrayed by some guys who said, yeah, well, you tell us what this means and you know, tell us our dreams and we'll tell the guy about you. They never told him. They never told Pharaoh a thing until many years later. What about Nehemiah? Man, can you imagine as he rolled up on that wall and said, you want me to rebuild this? Man, how are we going to do this? But each day, Nehemiah guided people's steps towards God's will for rebuilding that wall. His purpose did not change. He had the Lord's will in mind. And he completed the task. But what about Jesus? 30 years. He had to wait. He had to wait for God's plan to unfold so he could begin his ministry. And then 3 more years after that. So maybe you're somewhere along the line there. Maybe you're like, man, God's told me what we're supposed to be doing. He's told me where we're supposed to be. And yet it just doesn't feel like that is where we're supposed to be. And listen, I get that. I get that. So what do? Do we sit in the chair and sulk? Do we look around and see what everybody else is doing? Do we take steps away from the narrow gate? Or do we stay on the path? Do we continue to be faithful? Are we disciplined in what God wants us to do to get to His purpose? We must not get discouraged. There's going to be seasons that come and seasons that go. And it may even affect our purpose, but never His. God's purpose doesn't change. It stands firm forever. So what do we cling to? We have to cling to what the Father has for each of us. And I think, can you imagine that? The body of Christ united. Because each person is so focused on His purpose. We can't sit and go, I'm sorry, me, poor me. This is happening. We need to step up to the plate So as we consider the path, there's four things we need to look at. We need to consider carefully. We need to pick carefully what we are engaging in today. What are you choosing to let into your mind? What are you choosing to do? Where will you go? And maybe not today because we're in church today, but maybe tomorrow, maybe later today. What will you let into your path? Let me ask you this question. If we pick carefully, what is the desired outcome of today? Maybe that's a question you could ask yourself each day. What is the desired outcome of each day? And when you answer that question, if it doesn't have God's purpose in it, maybe you need to re-ask the question. Number two, you need to look to God. When the world is vying for our attention to woo us and lead us to the wide path, what do we need to do? We need to look to God. We need to set our mind on heavenly things, things above, not things below. And we need to act. We need to engage with what God has for us to do. Don't wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be too late. I got this to do today, or I got that to do today. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do what God's got planned tomorrow. You see that homeless person? You see that person who needs Jesus, and you're like, well, man, maybe I'll go back to that place tomorrow. Maybe they'll be there. Now you engage. You act. Nothing happens when we don't move. And if we don't act, we've missed the opportunity. We've missed the purpose of God for us. Do you think His purpose is not going to happen? Do you think that somebody won't reach out to that person? Oh, no. You just didn't get to engage in it. If you don't act, He's left you off to the side. And when? Now. Right now. Go get it done. Don't wait. Consider God's plan. What part do you play in it? Don't say, I'm done. Don't just sit in a chair and go, I'm done. I've gotten to a point in my life where I don't know. Don't let discouragement hold you back. Young people, you are in a season where God's got plans for you. Don't just say, I'm a kid and I can't do anything. I've seen plenty of kids do amazing things. God can use anybody He chooses. In fact, He says that He'll choose the small and the meek. Huh. You want to be mighty, youth? Let Him direct your steps. Don't think you're too young. You're not. Now is the time. Oh man, I wish I'd have gotten that. I wish somebody would have told me that. I might be in a different place today. And then you're on the other spectrum. You guys are going, well, you know, I've got my routines. I'm too far into my thing. I got, you know, my plans. Hey, stop. Who do we serve? You are never too old. You are never too weak. I've heard people say, I don't have that skill. Guess what? The Holy Spirit can give you that skill. If you have God's purpose in mind, His plan will unfold. And He will use you. Don't negate who you are. Don't negate the gifts He's given you. You are not done until He says so. God, we thank You. We thank You that You love us so much, that You are still orchestrating a plan. We know that Jesus was part of that plan, but this is another part. You gave us instructions. You gave us directives. You told us that we need to go and make disciples. That we need to take the word out to all nations. To teach them, to baptize them. And make more disciples. God, our heart this morning is crying out because, you know, sometimes it feels like we get lost in the purposes of the world. And we want so much to have Your purpose in mind. Would You clear our mind? Would You set our heart on the right thing? We need Your help to do it. It's impossible apart from You. We'll get distracted. We'll get pulled this direction or that direction. And before we know it, the narrow path's over there and we're back on the wide path. Would You yank us back like only a shepherd can? It may all might be a little painful, but we're okay with that. We want to please You more than in the world. So remind us that You have given us a purpose, a greater purpose, a purpose that only You can orchestrate. And that You have a plan and that each of us have a part in that. Don't let any person in this room today think that they are not insignificant. Let them think that they're not important. That they don't have something to do right now. Draw them in. Point them to you. Let their lives be a witness for your plan and your purpose. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.